Radioactive!
And then I thought, briefly, there was just this fleeting voice of reason, and I told that little voice to go screw itself.
Well, once I lived a lie. Hello, hello, and welcome to Radioactive,
a youth radio program at KUOW.
I'm Ian Dongla.
And I'm Kendra Hanna.
And today our theme is actually what Maddie was just talking about.
That moment when, like, everything slows down and you think to yourself,
oh no, I've made a terrible mistake.
We have an existential crisis in a parking lot.
We throw a water balloon at a vice principal.
And we do not listen to our ex-wives.
Then I begin to fall so low.
So would you like to tell us about the incident?
Not particularly, but I will.
This is Maddie Eubank, a fellow Radioactivian.
So Maddie was at her end-of-the-year assembly at Ballard High School. It's this big ceremony where the seniors get up from where they usually sit, and then the juniors take the senior spot, then the sophomores take the junior spot, etc.
So here's Maddie.
So at the very end of the assembly, they say, all right, seniors, like, you can leave. And all the seniors pull out water balloons. It's like half the senior class just starts whipping water balloons at the juniors on the other side of the auditorium. And everyone's, like, screaming, they're exploding on people, the seniors are laughing and, like, running out of the auditorium, like, suckers, like, this is our senior prank, we're out of here. And one water balloon hit my friend, and then another rolled by my foot. And this little purple water balloon, and I looked at it, and then I thought, briefly, you shouldn't throw that. And my friend was like, pick it up and throw it! Like, it was the end of the year, and doggone it, I was gonna have a good time. So I picked up the water balloon, and I threw it. And I was like, yeah, get back at the seniors, whatever. And I see it just spiraling through the air, you know, making that, like, spreading out. And all of a sudden I see the assistant principal of Ballard High School take one step to the right and turn her head right into the water balloon and just exploded all over her. And everyone kind of stopped moving for a heartbeat. And I was sitting there trying to put all the pieces together in my head, like, water balloon, thrown, exploded, vice principal, I am so screwed. And I ran over to her, and she was okay. She was kind of shocked, and it was bad. And so I apologized profusely. I was like, I'm so sorry. I really didn't mean to. She believed me, I think, and I kind of went back to my place. But at this point, the whole gym is like, what? Who's this? This is the other part. Nobody got to move forward. Instead, they made everybody leave. So there was no grand ceremony of moving up. It was just kind of the administration is pissed. You better get out of this gym. And so over the weekend, I just kind of simmered in guilt. So I wrote a note to the vice principal, and I got her flowers, and I came in Monday morning. And she was wearing a neck brace. And I just about died a little bit.
So the vice principal felt sorry for her, and she didn't get in trouble. But if she did, she would have been charged with assault.
Assault?
Yeah, and she would have had to take a correctional course.
Wow.
I didn't even know what to do with myself. Like, it's just nothing I could have ever possibly anticipated. And it's nothing I would ever, ever, ever have wanted to happen. So just, I don't know, seeing her in the neck brace and knowing that I had been responsible is the worst part of this by far.
So I've got another story on the theme.
All right.
So let me introduce you to the main character, Amina Alsadi, who is a producer for Weekday at KUOW. And this story is kind of about her circular route into the radio world.
Okay, then.
So Amina goes to this small alternative high school, and her whole life she wants to get into the University of Washington. And she gets in, and she's got everything figured out.
Well, so when I started at UW, I thought I would study Middle Eastern studies and communications with a thought that I would go into journalism.
But then she gets on campus, and that transition to such a big place, you know, there's like 40,000 students there. She's kind of lost, and she's not really sure about anything anymore.
I saw all these different options and all these different possibilities, and I realized, oh, maybe I don't know myself and what I want as well.
So to make friends, she joined some clubs.
And one of them was the Muslim Student Association. And so a lot of my friends were in the MSA, and a lot of the people in the MSA came from Middle Eastern backgrounds. And in the Middle East, there are like three jobs you can do. You can be like a doctor, an engineer, or like a lawyer if you have to be not a doctor or engineer.
And so pretty much all Amina's friends are studying medicine and engineering. You know, maybe some of the academically lesser inclined are studying pre-law. And Amina starts to feel some pressure.
They were all very nice, but a few of them definitely had this like elitism when it came to academics. They would kind of drop hints or comments like, oh, my insert language art class here is so easy, and I barely have to do anything. I barely have to study. And they would, there was just this sort of competitiveness amongst everyone about doing really well in the most challenging classes that they can be in.
So Amina makes a decision.
I switched to psychology and English after my first year.
So she switched majors.
Yeah, and she totally jumps in full force. She decides to be an honors student, which means she has to design her own research project as an undergrad.
I was really committed to the project, and I was starting to write up my paper. It was like this exhaustive research paper.
And so she's working in the Autism Center. It's fascinating. She's fully committed. And then
I kind of started panicking. All of a sudden, it's like I woke up and I realized, oh, maybe this isn't the path I want to take. Maybe I don't want to be a researcher or be a psychologist or counselor.
So Amina's kind of freaking out. Privately, she doesn't let her friends onto this.
I definitely wanted to put on a front to people that, you know, I'm really driven and I can, like, do anything I put my mind to. And when I commit to something, like, there, I've committed.
But finally, she just can't take it anymore. And she's on her way to the airport. Her mom's in the car with her. And suddenly, everything just comes crashing down.
We were just sitting in a parking lot and I, like, broke down. I was just really upset and had kind of like a panic attack where I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my life? But at that point, the last day I talked to my professor, I had said, right, I'll be here this summer helping out in the lab, and then I'll be starting my project in the fall. But I could not go back. So I didn't. And then also I didn't tell him right away. Like, I just didn't go back.
So what happened?
Well, Amina finishes her psych major, although she doesn't do her project. And ironically, she ends up getting the job she wanted in the first place.
So she goes through all that, and she basically ends up where she started?
Yeah. And here's the funny thing.
What?
She doesn't regret it at all.
At all?
Well, here's what she said.
Without having gone through that, I don't think I would have really felt and realized the consequences of my behavior and actions. And I don't think I'd be as sure, because, you know, having the opportunity to sort of test other paths and see what else is out there makes me even more sure of the path that I'm on right now. I can see how much I enjoy the work I do now more than I did when I was in college.
I think I've already kind of gone through some of that.
No, really?
Yeah. I also really wanted to go into journalism, but a backup plan for me has always been to study like graphic design and then go into advertising. So last year I started taking these journalism classes, you know, like poli sci, that sort of thing. And they were really, really hard. And I was kind of freaking out to my dad, and I was saying, you know, journalism is dying. There are no jobs. I still wanted to do journalism, but it just seemed like a bad idea.
Yeah.
And I'm telling my dad this, and he looks at me and he just goes, oh, you'd be terrible in advertising.
Oh, my God.
And this was just, like, the most comforting thing my father has ever sent to me.
Wait, what?
So, and he goes on, and he's like, people are good at what they're passionate about. And if you're not passionate about, like, advertising, you're not going to be good at that.
So you chose this?
Well, I'm here.
Any regrets?
No.
Yet.
Speaking of regrets,
Kendra and I scavenged the U District asking people this.
If you could go back in time and change one thing about your life, what would it be and why?
Here's what they said.
Maybe being nicer to my mom when I was growing up. I gave it to her pretty rough.
Tell my younger self to eat healthier.
I would work harder my freshman year of high school.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have smoked so much weed in college, in all honesty.
I treated this one girl that I was with pretty poorly, and it ended very badly.
I should have listened more to my ex-wives.
I think, actually, if I would think about the one thing that I regret, I think I would have finished my PhD much faster.
Maybe, like, worked harder, got a job when I was younger.
Man, life's too short to waste time thinking about what you could have done. So I don't really regret anything.
I guess that I would have had more experiences in high school, like that I would have broadened my horizons and done more different things.
Probably would have stayed in school.
I would say the one thing in my life I would change would be losing track of old friends.
I would say getting tattooed super quick.
In high school, I would finish my senior project before it was due. I did not finish in time, and I barely graduated.
I don't know if I would have necessarily joined the Army. It's not that I didn't like it. I think I probably would have chosen a different branch. I think I might have actually chosen, like, the Coast Guard.
My breakup with my first love, and the reason is because I didn't know that I was so in love with her. I didn't find out until later when I was with girls that didn't care about me that much.
I would have finished college the first time when Dad was willing to pay. That's it.
Okay, if I could go back and change things, if I had that opportunity, I totally would.
What would you change?
I think I would, like, tell my younger self to not be so nervous all the time, because I was just this really, like, wound up, anxious little kid who, like, I couldn't go to any of my friends' house overnight, or, like, I couldn't go to sleepaway camp because I couldn't bear to be away from home, and, like, I think I missed out on a lot of stuff. So if I could go back, I guess I would tell myself to just kind of relax and it's gonna be fine, you know, and, like, live a little, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that too. I would tell my 12-year-old self to stop wearing so much eyeliner and stop acting like Aubrey Plaza in photos and get a haircut. I guess we're just filled with regret in general.
Hopefully, after listening to our podcast, you are not.
We're going to leave you with one of our favorite activities.
Kendra and I, along with Maddie Eubank, did a sound scavenger hunt.
Looking for the sound of regret.
Take a listen.
The couch wet.
If you want to hear more Radioactive podcasts, check out our Facebook page at Radioactive Youth Media.
Or go online to kow.org/radioactive.
Special thanks to Maddie Eubank and Amina Alsadi for sharing their stories.
To Jenny and Leela, our fearless leaders. And to our fellow Radioactivians, Shrikar Panumaka, Isaac Noren, Rachel Lam,
Amina Ibrahim, Carlos Nieto, and Maddie Eubank for their inspirational work.
For Radioactive, I'm Ian Dongla.
And I'm Kendra Hanna.
Thanks for listening.
For a mighty good time, buying bootleg liquor, champagne and wine. Then I begin to fall so.